This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. New developments and what we are learning about the NSA. The National Security Agency has the job to keep the nation safe by monitoring, collecting, and decoding information from around the world. But does that mean they have the right to snoop through our emails? Big stories out this week tell us that the NSA's surveillance of our communications is much more extensive than what we've been told in the past. Do you think the NSA has gone too far? What should be done or what can be done to restore our privacy? Call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980, or you can email us at thesource@tpr.org or comment directly on the show page on the website at tpr.org. Our guest this half hour, Feza Patel, co-director of the Liberty and National Security Program at the Brenham Center for Justice, and Nadia K. Ali, activist with the Electronic Frontier Foundation. Welcome to The Source, both of y'all.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Great, fantastic. Feza, what are we learning? What is new?
Well, I think what we're seeing now is a number of stories that talk about who the NSA is surveilling. The first slew of stories that we got out of the Snowden disclosures related primarily to how they were conducting surveillance. You know, they were getting court orders that allowed them to get information from companies like Google and Microsoft, and then we learned about how they were tapping into the internet backbone and just all these different ways that they were collecting information and got a sense of, you know, the scope of the information they were collecting. And the stories this week are kind of digging into, well, what's in that information and who is the NSA actually targeting? And that's definitely something new.
All right. And Nadia, we're finding out that people in the active in the American Muslim community, just being a member of that, does that make you a target?
Well, you know, one of the things that EFF says a lot is that the NSA is very good at playing word games. And the response to the Intercept story that came out was that the NSA said in their statement, we don't target people solely based on those things. And that is something that's very easy to play games with. They may have other excuses, but, you know, it seems pretty clear from the information that we've seen that what is happening is an example of religious profiling.
Religious profiling, just by, and these are prominent members, people who are, some are very like academics, these are very prominent citizens.
Absolutely. These are people who are model citizens. They have amazing records of civic engagement. They have been involved in their communities. They've been involved in the government. Some of them, one of the people who was surveilled actually worked at the Department of Homeland Security. They come from across the political spectrum, in fact. A couple of the people profiled were identified as Republicans. You know, there are a lot of differences between these men, but the one thing that remains is that they're Muslim and they've been targeted, and that one of them did describe himself as a secular Muslim, which is why I hesitated. But they are all Muslim, and you know, this is something that should be incredibly concerning
because they're being profiled.
That's what it looks like.
Now, Feza, we're also finding out that people are being flagged by the NSA simply because they are searching online, trying to find out about how they can protect their privacy. Is that right?
That is right.
Well, that's right. And I think Nadia is probably better off answering that question.
Nadia, we'll throw this to you.
Sure. You know, as you probably know, EFF does a lot of work around security and privacy. And we found it shocking. We looked at this this code that is part of XKeyscore, and it showed that people are being scrutinized simply for going to learn about the anonymity protecting tool Tor, and even incredibly for visiting the Linux Journal homepage. And for those of your listeners out there that aren't familiar with Linux, it is an operating system. It's used by people who really want to know how exactly their operating system works. It's something that has been seen kind of as geeky. So, you know, to put it simply, the NSA is targeting people who can care about computer security and kind of targeting nerds. It's really pretty ridiculous.
So we're being profiled. Nerds are being profiled.
That's right. And I say that as a nerd myself, I should say.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of people who go onto Linux and they have nothing to do with trying to completely lock down their communication. They're hobbyists and people who are just interested in it as an intellectual pursuit. But tell me more about why is this an area, Nadia, that the NSA would be interested in trying to secure?
So the NSA actually says in its in the X key score code, they call Linux Journal an extremist forum where people advocate for the use of Tails, which is an operating system that you can put into your computer. You can use it. It comes on a memory stick, and there's no record of what it is that you've done. Now, it may be that people might be having conversations about Tails or about Tor, about other computer security on Linux Journal, but that's simply not enough to create the kind of suspicion that people should be then tracked for visiting that website. But we also know that the NSA hates Tor. There's the NSA presentation, Tor stinks. So all of these tools, and, you know, they're tools that people use in oppressive regimes. They're tools that people are using in countries that the United States is supposed to be encouraging democracy in to circumvent their oppressive governments, and yet here the NSA is tracking people for using them simply because they help you be more secure online. So, and apparently the NSA doesn't like that.
And so, Faiza, this is a rights issue. Is it just the wanting to protect your rights enough to flag you to make you a target for surveillance?
In theory, not, but it appears in practice that is a kind of a proxy that the NSA uses for some of its surveillance activities.
But wouldn't that be improper or illegal? You know, this exercising your rights is not a crime.
Absolutely. But, you know, the NSA operates in secret, right? And so we don't normally know how it is that they target people and who they target. It's only because of the Snowden disclosures that we have come to understand how this agency actually operates, because, in fact, you know, they are a law unto themselves when they decide who they target.
Right. And so the NSA has the ability to do this. The NSA is supposed to be, it's not a rogue agency. It does have to have some monitoring and controls, and mm-hmm. Is that going to come into play?
Well, I think that's a really important question. I mean, a lot of the defenders of the NSA will say, well, you know, all of this was authorized by Congress and all of this is reviewed by the courts. And that's only true up to a very limited extent. If you look at the NSA's collection of Americans' phone records, the so-called metadata program, which was the first Snowden disclosure, the congressmen who were primarily responsible for that legislation came out and said, well, this is not what we thought the NSA was going to do with the authority that we
Right,
gave
and
them.
The congressmen, they apparently are learning as we are learning what the NSA is up to. We're going to continue this conversation. If you want to jump in on here, listeners, the number is 210-614-8980. Are you fed up with the NSA? Give us a call. This is The Source on KSTX. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. The NSA, a huge, powerful organization, operates in secret, but we're learning a little bit more about what they're doing as they do their super surveillance of our communications online. With me to talk about that, Faiza Patel, co-director of the Liberty and National Security Program at the Brenham Center for Justice, and Nadia K. Ali, activist with the Electronic Frontier Foundation. So we found out earlier, now we know that just being a Muslim is enough to draw the attention of the NSA. And now we're also finding out that just researching online, Googling, and trying to figure out how do I protect my secrecy online is enough to get targeted by the NSA. But we're also learning that as they are surveilling legitimate targets, but it's apparently they're scooping up information from everyday Americans, Faiza. So what are they getting there?
Sure. So the kind of information that we saw, the Washington Post article had really good information about what sort of things NSA is actually seeing. So this is really private information. We've heard a lot about the bulk telephone records collection, but under Section 702 of the FISA Amendments Act, the NSA is actually able to get the contents of communication. So this is IMs, this is emails, This is pictures. And, you know, the pictures that were described in the article, you know, it's pictures of people's babies sleeping, playing. There was a note about a young woman standing in front of a mosque in religious dress, people sending intimate pictures to each other. It's incredibly private, incredibly revealing information.
What does it mean to be targeted, other than knowing that somebody is looking at your information and you're going to maybe some embarrassing information? What does it really mean to be targeted, FISA?
Well, I think there's a couple of things over here. As Nadia explained, you know, the government is allowed to target foreign targets who they think are involved in, you know, criminal activity, but also more broadly who may have information that is of use to the United States in pursuing its foreign affairs. But when they target foreigners, they pick up so much what they call incidental information about U.S. citizens and about people who are living here as permanent residents that the whole idea that this is targeted at foreigners really starts to fall apart at the seams. And once they have all of this information, which is a vast pool of information, we saw from the Washington Post report that 9 out of 10 of the pieces of information they analyzed were not related to targets, the NSA then has the ability to go in there and run searches for any American who they would like to target. So in essence, what this does is it creates a back door for the NSA to find out information about Americans that they would not otherwise be able to do. And that's how this is often called a back door to this particular law.
Our phone lines are open. The number is 210-614-8980. Let's go to the phones. Jose has called in. Jose, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, and thank you, David. I just wanted to comment. I'm in favor of some type of surveillance. Reason being is that our communities we're receiving more and more people from from the Arab world. And what we don't understand is that they are more adept at these technologies, and including the use of Linux and Tor and other technologies. And that's how they spread their jihadi movements on the web and using these technologies. So I think that there is a case for that. And another reason being is that we also monitor hate groups. The FBI has been monitoring hate groups on the Christian side. So I think it's naive for us to not do something and to sit and not monitor. We don't know what's coming out of these mosques, but on the ground, what I do see is when I see a woman walking down clothed from head to toe in 100-degree heat in her burqa or whatever, that tells me that something's going on here. That tells me that there should be some type of
But there's nothing wrong with anyone walking around in a burqa from head to toe if that's what they choose to do.
No, that's in one sense I can understand that, but there's a sort of extremism that I see that may translate further in the future in something that we've seen in London, where or in England and in the UK. Where when they become to assert their fundamentalism upon a democratic society.
Okay, Jose.
That's my concern.
All right, Jose, but obviously you weigh more towards security, national security, and you're willing to give up privacy and allow in order for national security. That's where you're coming from, right?
Well, I don't think that there is any other recourse.
Okay.
At this state.
All right. I just want to make sure I was able to clear up where you were coming from on that. Okay. Thanks for that call, Jose. So, Nadia, do you want to jump in on that? Do you want to weigh in?
Well, sure. I'd love to hear what FISA has to say as well. But I think it's pretty clear that that gentleman didn't really sound like he was in favor of keeping the First Amendment to the Constitution. I mean, the reality is, no matter what your personal feelings are about how somebody looks, everybody in this country has the right to practice their religion. That is why we have the Constitution. And frankly, if you don't see the connection between that and your own personal ability to live your life, I think that's concerning. We can never ever target somebody simply because of their religion. And that's what we're seeing the NSA doing. And, you know, to add on to that, there's a real false dichotomy between the idea of that we have to give up all our rights, we have to give up our privacy in order to be secure. The NSA is a bloated agency that has gone far beyond its mandate. And, you know, I have yet to see real evidence that the unconstitutional and overreaching surveillance that they're doing is keeping us safer. I don't think my organization certainly doesn't say no surveillance ever. But we do say that we respect people's rights and we respect the Constitution and we respect the Bill of Rights.
Faiza, can you help tell me your reaction to what Jose's call?
Yeah, sure. I mean, look, as Nadia said, right, I mean, the fact that how I dress doesn't make me a terrorist or doesn't make me a wannabe terrorist. You know, a person's religion is not a proxy for their tendency to become a terrorist. And people might think so based on anecdotes or, you know, somebody they see walking down the street who they don't like. But if you look at the empirical evidence, and there have been so many studies done of this since 9/11, there's really no connection between, you know, whether somebody grows a beard or wears religious garb and whether they become a terrorist. Now, given that that's the case, that really cuts into this idea that, you know, we should be monitoring people because they look like what we think a jihadi might look like. Believe me, real terrorists are a lot cleverer than that. And if they really did want to commit a terrorist attack, they're not going to go out there looking like somebody who, in the sort of stereotypical sense, we think is going to commit a crime. So it really does seem to me a kind of a futile way to look at these issues. And as Nadia pointed out, it is, of course, contrary to all of the constitutional values that this country holds so dear, and freedom of religion and freedom of speech is the First Amendment for a very good reason. It's the principal value in which this country was founded.
Okay, back to the phones. John has called in. John, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you very much for having me. And I just wanted to say I really appreciate your guests and what they are doing to protect our freedoms. And it was rather disappointing listening to Jose's comments. It's kind of sad to hear that, actually, that he seems to be okay with this, this prying into our personal lives. There's another component to it that I think hasn't been addressed in some time or hardly ever that I've seen, and that's the fact that I read this in the Guardian newspaper, where that the NSA has a contract to share that data with the State of Israel. I mean, that's wrong on so many accounts, but I mean, and I think that people are just so apathetic to this that it allows the people in charge to just say, hey, we can do what we want because nobody seems to care these days. And that's sad that we've gotten to the point where that people just don't seem to really realize the downside of this and how it can affect so many people. I see it as a tool for industrial espionage. If people are targeted within companies like GE, IBM, any kind of creative organizations, and emails are exchanged between associates regarding new improvements and new patents, et cetera, and this data is being shared with countries like Israel, who can scoop it up and use it for commercial uses, I think that's just another side of it that makes it so heinous. And I think as Americans, we need to wake up and realize, wait a minute, this is not good. We do not need this type of surveillance on people to make us safer. We need a better Middle Eastern policy where we stop supporting Israel unilaterally.
Okay. All right. John, thank you for that call. Appreciate it. So, Nadia, are you sharing information with Israel? Is that a problem?
Well, you know, there are a lot of information sharing agreements that the NSA has. The information sharing agreement with Israel is one that is concerning. There's also the relationship that the NSA has with the Five Eyes countries that has allowed really pretty unprecedented information sharing between those different agencies. And, you know, some of the worst things that we've heard, some of the worst leaks that we've seen have actually been from GCHQ, which is the NSA's British counterpoint. In terms of specifically the information sharing that's happening with Israel, there's actually a memorandum of understanding, which I think the caller was pointing to, that allows the NSA to share raw data without stripping out personally identifying information about U.S. persons. And that, in particular, is concerning. That's, you know, information, personally identifying information, that's your phone number, your birthday, things like that can really make it easy to figure out who somebody is.
Okay, back to the phones. Chris has called in. Chris, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. I've heard their points. I feel sad that these individuals that are making the comments against our First Amendment rights don't realize the monumental task of the NSA, FBI, or any of those other agencies that are involved in protecting our citizens. You know, two teenagers blew up the Boston Marathon. I can guarantee you those people that were injured wouldn't mind at all that somebody's checking in their best interests. And, yeah, you're right. The First Amendment is being used against us by our enemy. And one thing you do when you fight a war is you keep your enemy as close as you can. You keep your friends close, but you keep your enemies closer. And I have no problem with them checking so my kids can go to school and feel safe. These people will send in a Down syndrome kid in their own country, strap a bomb to their wheelchair, and roll it into a crowd of people and blow it up. Is that what you want in your country? Do you want your kids to go to a school?
Okay. Chris, got your comments. Appreciate you calling in. Please call back again sometime. And so FISA, you know, Chris, is expressing a sentiment that a lot of Americans have.
You know, I think what I would say is, Chris, I want to be safe too. I have kids too. Do you think I want them to be blown up? Of course not. The question here is not about wanting safety. The question is about how you get safety and whether or not you can actually get safety without selling out the fundamental values that make this country what it is. What's the point of having an America that looks like, you know, a totalitarian regime where everybody's every move is watched by the government? That's what makes us free. And I think that this war metaphor and this them and us dichotomy that you have, it is really troubling to me because, you know, there are a number of Muslims in this country. They came here with as slaves, back in the 1800s.
Faiza,
it is part of our society.
Faiza, we're out of time. Thank you so much. Faiza Patel, co-director of the Liberty and National Security Program at the Brennan Center for Justice. Our other guest, Nadia Kayali, activist with the Electronic Frontier Foundation. This is The Source on KSTX.